This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Alrighty, hour number two. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney rolling along here on the show. We're inside of our Rocket Mortgage studio. Rocket Mortgage giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today. Just go to RocketMortgageSquares.com. All right, so now listen, really, show's flying today with the Nets, obviously, from last night, with all those guys playing big minutes and no defense. It was a show, but, you know, Teek and I, you're going to want to go check out the podcast. I would imagine if you're an NBA fan, just go to Radio.com, Apple iTunes, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney, and check it out. It's how we started the show. Nash has his hands full. They've got to really tighten things up defensively. And Kyrie Irving didn't show many signs of augmenting his game, Teek, to match the skill sets of
the
other
game.
Two. It is a team game. He was gunning. 14 shots for Harden. What, almost 30 for Kyrie?
28, yeah.
28. I mean, he was great, but he got roasted on defense. That was part of the equation as well, and that's part of their DNA. They were a poor defensive team, but still, we got a lot going on. Coaching news, which we'll do here. Donovan McNabb going to join us coming up next segment. Darren Waller of the Raiders, third hour. Press conferences are getting fans all fired up, both in Detroit and New York with the Jets. But we start with the Eagles, who found their guy. Now, if you told me, put it this way, right? So let's say if we knew there's now six of the seven jobs, and we'll tell you the name in a moment. We're withholding it for a reason. Teague, if I said let's say late December, right?
Okay.
When we kind of knew, all right, there was already a few coaches out there. The Texans had moved out, et cetera. We surmised a few others would open up, and as they always do. If I said in late December, you know what, Teek? Of the seven jobs, six will be filled, okay? And the sixth one that is filled, so five of the seven will be filled. The sixth one that gets filled will be filled by one of the youngest, sharpest offensive minds in football, who happens to be an offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Would you not think that – I know Eric Bieniemy's not that young. He's actually 51.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you think that description would scream Eric Bieniemy?
Yeah, of course.
It's not.
No. I know.
Not Eric Bieniemy,
It's not Eric Bieniemy. And as I think about all of these coaches, look, I agree with the hires. I do.
Yep.
I agree with the
you
mindset.
You mean the previous ones?
All of them.
So do I.
The previous hires, the mindsets, the fact that they fit the organization, that they – I don't know.
Personality-wise?
Exactly. Personality-wise. Yeah. May be the right hire, may have success immediately, may struggle for a couple of years. Who knows? But I don't disagree with the hires, but I can't help but feel that the process is so flawed that such a qualified potential head coach, offensive coordinator at this point, Eric Bieniemy, simply can't find a job. And look, there were earlier reports, BT, that he was being picky, if that's the right word, and I don't even know what that means when you're looking for the head coaching job. We've heard all the ridiculous excuses about, not interviewing well and whatever. He doesn't have, actual play calling ability, but he is a leader, and you know that he is, and you've heard it from too many people, including assistant coaches on Andy Reid's staff and players themselves, and he just can't find a job. So it's frustrating that the process is so flawed that he can't. But at the same time, I still have to give a tip my hat to some of these organizations. I think they found the right guys.
That's right for them.
That's right for them.
I agree
exactly
with you.
Right.
See,
it's like I'm of two two minds, you know what I mean, of thinking about the fairness of this for Eric Bieniemy.
Yep.
Because I agree with every guy that got hired, but I think it's grossly unfair for Coach Bieniemy.
That's what makes this confounding to discuss,
right?
Because
that's right.
I agree, you know, and I remember tweeting something out. This was a couple of days, maybe a week or so ago, when all the news had trickled in terms, or most of the news, which teams were leaning which way, which teams had already decided on certain candidates, et cetera. And I said the same thing. I wrote it, and of course I said it on the show, that there seems to be a really good match, a person like, you know, when you look at Campbell going up there, and we'll get into he had a press conference for the ages. He was phenomenal. He dropped an expletive. Lions fans, they needed some sort of just something to galvanize them. Because listen, as much as I've been down, it's been 10 years for the Jets with no playoffs.
Yeah.
The Lions haven't had a Rex Ryan type in their life. At least I had that. That was a jolt of feeling important, of mattering, of somebody who put his chest out and kind of propelled the Jets, maybe not to the top of the NFL, but to the most relevant portion
of the
pool.
They got to the AFC Championship game.
No, I know.
Twice.
I'm saying top winning, you know, but
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
No question. He brought them into the relevant part of the conversation. Lions, even with Stafford, one of the better quarterbacks in the last, playing now, I mean, you want to say last 20 years in terms of arm talent. You know, I'm not saying he's the most talented, but he's certainly on the short list in terms of guys with arm talent. They still have done nothing, even with a quarterback, which with all the bad teams are usually hunting. The Lions are one of the few franchises that manage to suck when they have the one thing that everybody's looking for. So I agree with you. Like, Campbell's perfect for them. Rob Saleh is perfect for the Jets. I love all these hirings. But the other aspect, and you nailed it, is to still, with the same brain, try to rationalize, well, all right, this is good, and they did what's right for them, and you got to respect that, and that's their right. Hire who you want. But on the other side, like, man, this guy's not, he's not getting a sniff.
No, he isn't.
Eric Bieniemy, he's not getting a sniff.
No, he's not. I know he's had some virtual interviews, but
it's basically like a mercy interview.
That's right.
Because the NFL, they changed their rule.
That's right. Look, it's we used to say this, oh, you interviewed the token black guy. Like, honestly, you said that regarding the Rooney Rule. I don't think that that's the case here, but that's what it feels like, because nobody's waiting. Nobody's waiting till they can get a chance to meet him. Or, as we said last week, just get on a damn, earlier this week, get on a plane and go see the guy.
Sit on the tarmac.
Sit in, I don't know, put a plexiglass, you know, sheet between you and have a conversation face to face with the guy, as opposed to, you know, saying, ah, he's not going to work for us and go somewhere else. You know, and at the end of the day, it sucks for Eric Bieniemy, but I can't help but say that I feel like most of these teams have done well in their hires. Some of them are, I don't know, not question, but like, is it going to work type of question, like situations, like, is Urban Meyer going to know how to coach in the NFL and in down in Jacksonville with the roster that he's got to completely remake, and Trent Baalke is his general manager? Like, what's that going to look like? If there's one that, you know, might get askew, it could be that, because college coaches haven't had success, but it's still Urban Meyer. You know what I mean?
80 miles from where he made his way.
That's right.
In a few spots.
But that's right. But it's
Gainesville.
So even though you could question that one, it's almost like I see it. I get it. I understand it. And I think that's what makes this difficult to like really overly criticize. There's been some years where you could really over criticize.
I agree.
The hiring practice, like, what in the hell did that guy
have? I agree.
Why was he even given a chance to be a head coach?
Uh-huh.
This year, it's not. It doesn't feel that way.
I agree with you. And by the way, it's Nick Sirianni who is now the head coach. And once Peterson was sent packing, you didn't really know which direction they would go. It seemed like for a hot minute that McDaniels was, you know, talking about the tarmac. It looked like he was getting ready to land that plane and, you know, waltz into that office. There's a little bit of it's more than a little bit of a surprise to me. It's a huge surprise. Doesn't mean it's the wrong move. As I read from CBSSports.com, and then we got to play this bit from Campbell's press conference. So, Sirianni, for those who don't really know much about Nick Sirianni, here's as I read again from the website. Sirianni served as the Colts OC for the past 3 years, all under Frank Reich, which obviously is somebody good alignment there. Reich is good, who was previously the Eagles' OC. Sirianni and Reich have a history of coaching together outside of Indianapolis. They were with the Chargers from 2013 to 2015. Sirianni was the quarterback's coach when Reich was offensive coordinator, so he's obviously worked his way up. He had that role for 2 years, then the 3 years for the OC for the Colts. He's 39. He also was under Todd Haley in a multitude of roles from 2009 through 2012. So a couple of different organizations, a couple of different positions, roles, working his way up. I like it. I mean, the worst thing that you could do, and I'm not, listen, by the way, I've done this in the past, but I've gotten away from this. And fans definitely do this. And, you know, I consider myself a fan. That's why I say I've done it. I can't stand when something is like universally denounced solely because you don't know much about the person.
Yeah.
It's one thing to stop short of saying home run hire, but yeah. You don't have to say that it was a horrendous hire because the name doesn't resonate. And a lot of fans do that. Oh, Nick, who the hell is Nick Sirianni? What's WIP's number? WIP, Nick Sirianni? What are you guys, crazy? That probably sounds more like New York. But I'm serious. Like, I guarantee that there's a large contingent of Eagle fans who are ticked off for no reason. Ticked off for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, that which to me is confounding. But
yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, the Eagles are the one that you... you look at and you know that there was conditions set prior to the hiring. And that is Carson Wentz has got to be your guy. Mm-hmm. Jalen Hurts is here. You have a legit and quarterback issue. I'm not going to call it a controversy, but there's a legit quarterback issue here. And so whoever they were hiring knew that the owner has an affinity towards Carson Wentz, maybe because they paid him $128 million. It could be it's just a little bit of the narrative.
You had to roll it back one
exactly.
more year.
But there is a little bit of an issue with the quarterback. Can you get him right? Can you stay committed to him? It's one of those things that, you know, coaches might look at and say, I can't guarantee that, and that disqualifies them. If that makes any sense. That's the only thing that's kind of there for the Eagles. That's not, you know, we're going to give you control. It's your team. Take us back where we need to be. That's the only thing about the Eagles. That's the only job that I look at, and I'm saying there's a little bit of a caveat that might have limited, you know, what a new head coach could bring there.
Okay. All right, let's put the Eagles stuff on pause for a minute. By the way, next segment, we've got an Eagles great, a legend, D-Nab, Donovan McNabb's in the house to talk about, you know, what happened with the hiring and, more specifically, what the hell went wrong with Carson Wentz and how do you rehabilitate a full state of the Eagles with Donovan McNabb coming up. So I don't know, you know, what this press conference is going to sound like with Nick Sirianni. I don't know. But I'm pretty sure it's not going to sound like this because no press conference sounds like this. And this is the best press conference I've ever heard. And you have to – now, you won't have the visual unless, of course, you're watching this on CBS Sports Network. But if you're listening to us, all the affiliates, radio.com, just imagine this massive monstrosity of a hulking figure, right? I mean, he's a big dude. Campbell's a big man. He's strong shoulder. He's a presence, right? And you can actually, as he's describing what you're about to hear, you can actually see his face like tightening up and tensing up. And this was awesome. Lion fans, listen to this again. This is fantastic. Dan Campbell.
So this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing, all right? That's going to be the mentality.
I love that.
We obviously didn't play the curse, but there was a curse in there.
No, that was earlier. It was early.
I say that because that was not like the only part that was animated. I mean, the whole thing
was
animated.
He went on for like 15 minutes.
Oh, you know, hold on. We do it. Go ahead. D-Cell, play that one too. Go ahead.
This place has been kicked. It's been battered. It's been bruised. And I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't. But none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that. So excuse my language.
Oh, that's awesome, man. That it, Tiki.
He's right, though.
Tiki.
He's right.
That. Now, he's talking to the locker room, obviously. Yeah. He's talking to the fan base, obviously. The only thing I can tell you is that as a fan and as somebody who knows the Lion fan a little bit, I am so happy for him.
Yeah.
Because, number one, I loved Campbell going in the hiring process. I admittedly I like Matt Campbell a little bit more. And he even said this. He said, "You know, what do you think?" He was asked a question. Why do you think you landed a 6-year deal? And he basically said, "Well, because I think that they thought it was I was Matt Campbell." Like, great, great way to disarm, and great sense of comedic timing. That's a well placed line, because everybody wanted Matt Campbell. Hot, yo, is he going to leave Iowa State? Yeah, they thought I was Matt Campbell. They tacked on an extra year or two. This guy is perfect for that market, and they must be pumped.
Yeah, no, he also talked about how Detroit had been beat down, and they always find a way to get back up. And it's not dissimilar to Joe Judge's press conference when he took over for the New York Giants. He said, look, this team is going to represent this community, and we're going to be hard-nosed and blue-collar, and I love that, because that's what football is, and really that's what fans want football to be.
Yep.
I mean, it's one thing to, you know, look at some of the players and their individual brands, I use that word, their individual brands, that guy's really polished, and he's good. But on Sunday, I want a dude that's an ass kicker, right? I want a guy that can take a licking, he's gonna deliver a licking, and he's mean, and he's dirty, and he's nasty, and at the end of the day, he's gonna be tougher than the guy across from him, and he's gonna win, right? Those are the guys that I want, and Dan Campbell was that player. Right. This isn't like by accident. This isn't like him manufacturing, this persona because he's now a head coach. That was what Dan Campbell was. That's what he was in the league to do. Right? Mm-hmm. He wasn't. He was on the team with Jeremy Shockey when I was there. Mm-hmm. Shockey was our glamorous big boy tight end. Go score all the touchdowns with your flowing, blonde hair and be that. Dan Campbell was, all right, block that tackle, D-tackle, right? Get into the scrum, be an ass kicker, and it's going to hurt. But you know what? We're counting on you to do it. And he did it for, I think, 10 years or 12 years his career was. He was a grinder. And then he went into the coaching ranks and just grinded, got tasked with being the interim coach at Miami. And, they sucked those years. But he came back and was like, we're going to run the ball. We're going to practice with pads on. We're going to do all this stuff that football players should be doing. He brought that back. And now for the last 4 years, or 5 years, actually, he's been the assistant head coach and a tight end coach down under Sean Payton. So he's learned under some of the really good head coach, great head coach in Sean Payton. So I think he's perfectly prepared for this job, and he's perfectly positioned to be successful up there. It may take a little bit.
It's going to take a little bit. They're not very good. It's going to take a little bit.
But that's why a 6-year deal is perfect.
You'll see fight, and you'll hear resolve. You'll hear energy. And, that fan base needed a hand to pull them off the mat, to kind of just kind of spark something again. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse when – and Lions fans, I'm not saying – apathy is the most dangerous human emotion. I mean, when you start – when you stop caring about something
– yep.
That's not good. Lions fans never stopped caring, but boy, I do believe on a lot of levels that they stop believing that they can ever find their way to where they want to find. And this guy, he's a galvanizer. So great, great job by Dan Campbell. That was awesome. I don't know if Eagle fans will be as fired up about Nick Sirianni, but we'll find out. Donovan McNabb's going to join us next. The road ahead. How do you rehabilitate Carson Wentz? How broken is Carson Wentz? Does D-Nab even think Carson Wentz should be the guy, or does he think Jalen Hurts? We're talking Eagles with a guy who shoots straight and knows the team and the league as well as anybody. Donovan McNabb next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We're going to get with Donovan McNabb here in a moment. Just a heads up, we've got Darren Waller coming up hour 3. Got a nice Brady Rogers segment coming up this hour. John Harbaugh had some interesting things to say about Lamar Jackson, so we are weaving all the pertinent stuff, and this is pretty pertinent. The Eagles have a new coach. We'll find out if our next guest likes it. And they got a lot to fix. That house has been a little sloppy for a little bit. And we're joined now by royalty for the Eagles, 6-time Pro Bowler, one of the great players of the early 90s, no doubt. Left it all on the field, was banged up at the end, but played his behind off, as we know. That's Donovan McNabb. D-Nab, what's happening, man? How you doing today?
I'm doing well. How you guys doing?
Awesome.
Can't complain, brother. Are you in favor of this hire, Donovan, in Philadelphia with Sirianni? Or do you think that they could have found a more established guy? Because I feel like the Eagles are a team that need, at least the Eagles fan base, they're not going to take kindly to someone who they don't really know, if you know what I mean.
Well, I think all of us are in that same boat that we really don't know them. And I think also – you have to take into account the last 5 years, every organization has been trying to go young with their coaches.
Yep.
They've been trying to find these 32, 33, 35-year-old guys, which he's a little bit older, which is not saying much. He's younger than me. But when you haven't had experience really at the coordinator position for a while, and I'm talking 5, 8 years, and you're just moving into a coordinator position when you've been quarterback coach or quality control guy, there are a lot of red flags that go up. For me, I don't know much about them, so I can't talk negative about them too hard, but you have to look at guys like Eric Bieniemy. You have to look at guys like Marvin Lewis. You have to look at guys like Caldwell, guys who have been in the mix for a long time and have had success. And you ask yourself why we continuously go through this year after year when an African-American coach hasn't been hired. You have one under your umbrella in Deuce Staley, who was there during your Super Bowl run, who actually yep. played for your organization, and you would think he would at least get a little bit more of consideration at the position, but no, that doesn't happen. So my question is, are you trying to recreate the wheel of the success that you had when Frank Wright was your coordinator, DeFilippo was your quarterback coach, and Doug was your head coach? Are you trying to recreate that wheel and hope that Carson Wentz can become your Nick Foles and he can be a mad scientist and pull him out of the deep hole that he's in? I think that's something that probably Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman, which I'll be honest, I'm really looking at this Howie Roseman situation of how he's still having his job.
Because Lurie loves him, you know that.
Well, I mean, we all know you need a little bit of favoritism here and there, but I mean, you have to look at this whole deal. Is this about Carson Wentz, or is this about recreating your football team and putting it in the right direction?
Well, Donovan, here's what worries me about. And again, you know, Sirianni's got a couple of years with the Colts, OC. We'll see. I mean, this is definitely out of left field. We kept hearing McDaniels. I thought on some level Bieniemy was in the mix. He should have been. He was not. Brian Daboll for the Buffalo Bills. What worries me if I'm an Eagles fan is it's not only that there's an absence of talent, and that's glaring. Like the Eagles, the cupboards are pretty bare. They're just not very good right now. They got old in certain spots, and they're just pretty deficient in spots you can't be deficient in. That's number one. But I guess on some level, you could kind of coach around that creatively, maybe with concepts. Probably not, but maybe. The real issue, though, is like there's like a PR, like the first day of Eagles camp. I mean, this guy, Sirianni, is going to get hit with, you know, roundhouse after roundhouse about Carson Wentz, about Jalen Hurts, about Carson Wentz. And without any experience as a CEO, that's what I would worry about the most. Some jobs need repair. This one really needs repair from a PR point of view. And I don't know if he's ready for that.
Well, that's the whole thing. Is when you look at the situation all across the college ranks, the NFL ranks. I mean, you got colleges now getting new ADs because they're firing head coaches because they're trying to clean house.
Yeah.
You look at the NFL, and most of these head coaches that they're hiring, either the GM has had success there, and they've been able to do a great job as far as the draft is concerned, or they're just cleaning house with GM and head coach and allow the head coach to come in and hire his own GM. So you got to really take into account this guy's coming in, Nick is coming in, and he's coming into pretty much a hot fire.
Yep.
And does he have enough pull to say, okay, I don't want him, I want to trade him, I want to look to bring somebody else in? Is that going to be something that Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman are going to deal with? Because you're asking a guy to do a lot. Because your draft picks that you drafted, I think they've only been two or three Pro Bowlers under the Howie Roseman watch that have been successful, but then your draft picks haven't really panned out. That's kind of the thing that you really have to look at in this situation. Because Nick is coming into what is he going to do at the quarterback position? We've seen what Jalen Hurts can do as your starter, and the team rallied behind him. Carson Wentz has had, what, four or five years?
Mm-hmm. But Donovan, what would you do? What would you do? That's what we're interested in. What would you do? You're running the show. First day of camp, how do you handle the quarterback spot? What would D-Nab do? That's what we want to know.
Well, first of all, it's easy for me to say, well, there's a competition involved. because we all know it's 100 million reasons why there won't be a competition involved.
Yeah, true.
And so you can't say there's a competition involved because the team is going to be looking at Jalen Hurts to win that. And Carson can come back like he's been over the last couple of years. And we, you know, on Twitter, they always say Wednesday and he had a great day and he did this. You can wow people with practice and in training camp, but it all that matters is what you do in the game.
Yeah.
And for Carson, you know, for Jalen, you can see an improvement from a guy that come out of the offseason. All of a sudden, he's seeing here, everybody's seeing something different, like he's growing. But Nick hasn't seen it. So this is Nick's first time seeing Jalen. So he's witnessed and watched Carson play. So I just think it's really an unfair deal, and this decision was based strictly off of Carson Wentz, I believe, because that's the only reason Doug got fired.
Yeah, no, you're right, because Doug wanted to go Jalen Hurts, as we all know. Let me move to your coach, your Andy Reid, longtime coach. Obviously, just won his first Super Bowl, and I mean, I didn't realize this stat until he got to the AFC Championship for the third straight time. He did that with you guys three times. And
right, like, make sure you mention that to you.
Yeah,
sure,
I mean,
I know it hurts for you to say.
Yeah,
that.
It does. It does. It does a little bit, yeah. But I'm just gonna say, I mean, it is what it is. I give you your respect, bro. That's all. But I mean, it took him a long time to win it, but he's been great. Really forever.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what, T, I'm going to add to that. And we get so enamored, and this has been my issue, because I'm a Bears fan, born and raised in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a deal that everyone held over Walter Payton's head.
Yeah.
And you being a running back, you know this, that we always want to count up number of Super Bowls and Super Bowl championships in order for a guy to be great. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that helps in some regard, and I was so happy for Walter Payton to win that because now that gave him validation from everybody that he was the best running back of all time. And so now you go to Andy Reid where you look at the combination that we had with his first head coaching job over a decade in Philadelphia. We were one of the top three winningest organizations for over a decade. And then obviously I left. And then, you know, Mike Vick took over. They didn't have the same type of success. It just wasn't that the culture wasn't there. And so he leaves and he built a new culture in Kansas City and he's been successful. And don't forget about Alex Smith and what he's been able to do.
He did a great job
in Kansas City.
Absolutely.
It just wasn't kind of at the bar what we're seeing from Patrick. But to do that with a young quarterback, go three straight AFC championships and a Super Bowl win, he has to go down as one of the top three head coaches when he finishes with Patrick. Top three or two head coaches that ever coach in the NFL.
Well, now hold on, D. Let me challenge you on this. And we're talking to Don McNabb, 13 years in the NFL, 6 Pro Bowls.
Come on, man, I'm biased, so you know I'm a roll with that.
Oh, absolutely. No, absolutely. I just want to give you something else to process. I don't expect you to necessarily change your mind, but you might. Well, let's say that Reed stays there another – I don't know. He's not
five
young.
Years.
But I was going to say seven. We'll meet 7 years, right? And
okay.
He only wins. I'll put quotes around the word only. He only wins one more Super Bowl with Mahomes, and assuming Mahomes is healthy all those years. I hear you based on what he's done thus far with the championship games. That elevates him for sure. But you can make the point that you're supposed to win more with Mahomes, and that could be used against him if he doesn't.
I'm glad you said that. And see, I go back to my whole deal about we're talking Super Bowls. We're counting up Super Bowls. So let's just say he has a winning percentage of 80% in that whole run in 7 years. He goes to 4 more AFC championships.
Yeah,
say he loses in those 4 more. So now you're looking at his winning percentage. You're looking at his production. You're looking at the success that Patrick Mahomes is going to have because you got to take into account is this. If he's Patrick Mahomes' quarterback for the next 7 years, I guarantee Patrick Mahomes will be in the running for the greatest quarterback of all time with 4 more AFC championships and putting up great numbers.
Yeah.
Now, the problem is going to be the contract. The problem is going to be because you can't hold the Tariq Hills, the Travis Kelce's. You can't hold those guys. So now it goes back into what Brett Beach brings to the table.
Yeah.
Now that's drafting guys to be able to spill into those spots and being younger to be able to get you back there to the AFC championship. So if he goes to 4 more now, 4 more, so that's 8. That would be 8 AFC championships 5 NFC championships, NFC championships. You can't tell me, I don't care if he wins one more Super Bowl or none, you can't tell me he's the second greatest coach of all time.
Well, I'd have to see what other coaches do, to be fair, but I got your point taken. Listen, that's an incredible resume. I mean, yeah. I'm
that's
not going to fight you on
resume
that.
Resume over 20 years.
I got you.
That's over 20 years, and almost you're in the ranks of what we're seeing from Tom Brady. What we're seeing from Tom Brady, we're 14 conference championships or, or 16 or whatever it is. You're talking about a head coach that's taken two franchises.
Yeah, I got you. You lay it out well. Listen, we got 30 seconds. I wish we had more, but I have to ask you this and give us the most honest answer. We know you will. As great as Andy Reid is, and he's great, don't you think, or do you think, I don't want to skew you here, do you think he should be more front and center for Eric Bieniemy?
What more can he do?
I don't know, kind of look into a camera and say, why the hell isn't this guy getting hired? Maybe start with that?
Well, I mean,
what has he done?
The whole world is saying it. He said it. He said it last year.
Yeah, but he doesn't say it. But D, he doesn't say it the way it needs to be said, in my opinion.
Yeah, but in his defense, he's trying to win a championship. He's trying to win a championship right now.
Yeah, but has Bill Belichick ever came out and endorsed Josh McDaniels?
No, because he doesn't want to lose him. He doesn't want to lose him.
But you know what? Hold on. But Donovan, Belichick is white and McDaniels is white. You know, if you want to elevate the minority coach, you got to go above and beyond.
Well, Andy's white, but if you look at his coaching staff and you look at his head PR guy, there a lot of African-Americans are under his coaching staff.
I understand that. So,
but, I mean, what more? He's probably reached out and called a lot of these organizations. I guarantee he was on the phone with Jeffrey Lurie Eric Bieniemy becoming the head coach.
I'm saying publicly.
But you don't have to get out there and pound the table so everybody can see that. Remember, he has full access to make phone calls, to talk to owners, because that's what happens when you interview people. Remember, the Texans are going through it right now. They're going to lose their quarterback, and they've lost their locker room because they're not going out and interviewing an African-American coach. Now, all of a sudden, Eric Bieniemy is in a running because Deshaun said he's getting out of there.
Yeah.
His anger went from 2 to 10 because they're not listening to him or even asking him about their situation.
I got you. T, did you have anything else?
We're good. No,
you got to bounce.
Yeah, we do. We're late on this at all.
Let me just add this before we land. Remember, there's two quarterbacks that I mentioned, Carson Wentz and Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's been pounding on the table to get his team to listen to him and come to him and ask him and get his input. We just hired a head coach in Philadelphia. I guarantee they called Carson Wentz and asked him his thoughts.
That's a good point, dude.
That's a great point.
Good point, Donovan. Always nice having you on, buddy. Good stuff there.
All right, you guys take it easy out there. Stay warm, stay blessed, stay safe, man.
We good
in sunny Arizona.
Stop rubbing it in.
This guy, get out of here.
See you, Donovan.
All right, Dean Ebb in the house. One of the great players of the early 2000s, as Tiki well knows. He knew you had to watch many times do his thing against some pretty good Giant teams, too, but McNabb was a beast. All right, let's get the update from Ack. We'll come back. A little something on Brady and Rodgers. That'll be awesome. Here's Ack's update, though, right now. Sunday on CBS, a spot in Super Bowl 55 is the prize when the Bills take on the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. We'll get you set up for all the action starting at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific with JB and the guys on the NFL Today in the AFC Championship game. Cannot wait. Hope all's well. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, YouTube.com/Tiki and Tierney. All the content every day, something new. When we drop the new segments, it goes up. You'll be alerted, obviously, so subscribe. We ask you to please do that. Follow the show, support the show by subscribing, but also clicking the bell and that fresh content that I just referenced before. As soon as it hits, you'll get the alert. You'll be able to consume Tiki and Tierney basically in real time in case you happen to miss something. So with that being said, next hour, Darren Waller, tight end for the Las Vegas Raiders, which is going to be sweet. Get his thoughts on both of these teams in the AFC. He knows them well. They're playing for the championship. And then, you know, there's a few things we need to pull apart in hour three. I thought John Harbaugh said some really I love the support for Lamar Jackson. I do. I love the unified front. And I believe that he believes what he said.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure that I'm subscribing to what he said. We can have that conversation, which we will. But, you know, I know we take this stuff for granted, and we've done it with Brady for years. We're probably in the process of doing it with Aaron Rodgers. Oh, God, he looks like he's 25 years old, which he does. But he's not 25. And there is a finite window. While he obviously has, you would think, you know, 5 or 6 if he stays healthy and wants it the way Brady wants it to keep his body right. He's got, you know, 4, 5, 6 maybe more years if he's surrounded by great players to be really, really good. What's interesting is, you know, the way the contract is set up, he has an out. He's got 3 years to go,
mm-hmm.
but he's got an immediate out. And, you know, this little thing in the corner of the room, they still did draft Jordan Love. I mean, how is this thing resolved here? Seriously.
Look, if he's still playing great, you can't not play him. Now, they're taking as many runs as they can, it feels like, at the Super Bowl. You know, it was surprising this offseason when they drafted Jordan Love as opposed to a wide receiver. But as we've seen, maybe they didn't actually need a wide receiver. They're actually pretty good right now in that receiving room and in their tight end room with Tanyan, who's had a great year.
Very good year.
Touchdown-wise, at least. And so, you know, I don't know how this is going to play itself out. Aaron Rodgers has no idea how this is going to play itself out. And all he can do is control which right now. I think it's asinine to even consider moving on from him.
Agreed.
But, I mean, you never know with any of these teams. It's so confusing what the thought process is for some of these squads, especially, you know, Green Bay, where they drafted a quarterback when it was literally the last thing you needed.
Yeah, that was a head scratcher. Didn't get it. You and I were actually doing a national draft show when that happened.
Right.
We were like perplexed. I almost didn't even know how to give commentary. I was so stunned. What,
yeah.
You didn't
think it's not, receiver? And again, it's not about not liking this kid.
Not at all.
It's just, what? That's what you needed? I don't think so.
No, it was an odd fit given where he is, which is in stark contrast to where Brett Favre was. You know, that's the thing. It's easy to say, to try to lump it into, like, you know, one swooping brush, you know, Favre / Rodgers, the mm-hmm. end, or the, you know, for Rodgers, the somewhat approaching the end of his tenure in Green Bay. But Favre's last 3 years, they weren't winning. He had a 4-12 season at one point. Then obviously that last year, I believe they were 13-3. And a 500 season in between, but they had one really rough season, and his statistics were really not very good. He had basically 4 more touchdowns than picks, 66 touchdowns to 62 picks those last couple of seasons, plus 4. And while they were clamoring for him based out of sentiment, the fan base, no doubt, mm-hmm. you know, he's our guy, he plays every week. We saw what he did on Monday Night Football the day that his, you know, when his dad passed away against the Raiders, when he threw all those touchdowns and he honored his pops. And, you know, the Packer fans have seen him walk back from the abyss with painkillers and some missteps as a young player, you know, a young person, as a bit of a wild child. Like, they love Brett Favre. So there was emotion that was fueling those phone calls into sports radio back then. This is just common sense. Like,
yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is twice as good, if not 3 times as good as Brett Favre was at the end. I wonder, and I don't know the answer to this, but I wonder if Rodgers seeing Tom Brady go and play for a different team maybe frees up a different part of his brain. I don't know. Hey, listen, we all remember he was sitting in that green room. We all know he wanted to go first with Alex Smith going first to his hometown Niners, coming from Cal right up the road. I don't know. Is there a part of Aaron Rodgers that maybe deep in the deepest recesses of his mind says, you know what? Maybe I do have to plan and I bounce and I play somewhere else for a couple of years.
Maybe, but I don't think he's planning that. I mean, it would be like obviously highly speculative, but I think he's going to leave it up to the Packers to decide what they want to do with him. And look, we know that when he's not there anymore, it's going to be a precipitous drop in QB play. Now, they might still be able to win some games and be viable and even get to the postseason because they do have a really good run game and they've drafted well there. And I think their defense is obviously it's significantly better than it's ever been in the early parts of Aaron Rodgers' career. But at the same time, I mean, you're losing Aaron Rodgers. You lose one of the greats.
That's all you need to say.
You're losing one of the greats ever. Like, how are you can't compare really any of these young quarterbacks to a guy like Aaron Rodgers. So I think if he does get pushed out, so to speak, because he still has, what, 3 years left on his deal?
3 years to go, but he's got an out.
Yeah.
I believe it's after one.
I don't think he will voluntarily leave.
I agree, but I do disagree a little bit on that he will be willing to sit back and allow the Packers to navigate his future.
Mm.
I don't think he's that kind of person. Now, Brett Favre, to me, you know, is a little different. You know, not that Rodgers isn't married to the community. He loves it, but again, it was just with Brett, it was a little more visceral because Brett gave you more as a person.
Yeah.
Like you knew. Now, Rodgers opens up with McAfee, his buddy, and, you know, he says some interesting things. I'm not saying he conceals everything. He's not like a robot. He's not stone faced. But Brett Favre was guard down. Whatever he was thinking, you knew. And that resonates with fans. We appreciate that. So I think there's a much more, and the reason I say that is because I believe that there was more of a willingness with Brett to kind of ride it out as long as possible, even to the detriment of his own feelings or the team.
Yeah.
Whereas I think Rodgers is playing chess more in that department. I don't think he's going to sit around and say, oh, I wonder what they're going to do with me. No, yeah. Rodgers is going to say, I'm leaving. If you don't want, I'm gone.
You also can't revise what was going on with Brett Favre. Brett Favre was talking openly about retiring.
No, a couple times.
So they had to like have a contingency plan.
Yep.
And then he just never wanted to retire. So it was like, all right, we got our contingency plan, but come on, Brett, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah.
And so
he made it tough on him.
He made it tough.
I know.
Aaron Rodgers isn't making it tough. So
he's not making it tough because, number one, he's a lot better than Brett was at this stage. But, I really just don't think that – maybe I'm totally off. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't love Green Bay. I'm sure he does. But I just feel like there's a part of him that's more receptive to change if it has to, like more pragmatic and less emotional.
Yeah,
if that
maybe.
Makes sense.
Maybe.
In navigating his Packers future.
Maybe, but it's hard to read Aaron Rodgers. It really is.
Just call the radio segment. Throw it out there.
Yeah, the reality is that they drafted a quarterback in the first round. So
who's raw? Yeah, by the way, if you're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, you're probably better off drafting one who's raw based on the ability to coach him up. And then when you get to that 2 or 3 year point, if you decide to make a change or out of necessity, you have to make a change, then he's ready rather than drafting somebody who's ready to roll from day one like Joe Burrow and all these other young kids coming to Justin. I know, Herbert, those are top five picks, but it's going to be interesting to watch that because this guy has been. I remember saying, I guess it was 3 years ago or 2 years ago, that I thought that Rodgers was going to throw 40 touchdowns that year. I believe it was two or three years ago.
Yeah.
And you guys were, and I picked him in my fantasy draft. I picked him really early, earlier than you should pick a quarterback. And I just had this inherent belief that he wasn't done being a superstar. But I'll be honest. I mean, he was getting hurt a lot. Mm-hmm. Remember, he hurt his shoulder, little nagging injuries. Didn't seem to be enjoying football as much. He is back, man. He is dominant. He is just great.
Yeah. Now
he's great.
Now he's got to match up against a legend this weekend.
Oh, he'll play better than Brady. I'm not worried about that. He'll play better than Tom Brady. He'll outshine Tom Brady. Tom Brady might win, but Tom Brady's not going to play like aesthetically better. Rodgers is going to have the better game. I firmly believe that. We'll see. Lamar Jackson, long-term deal with the Ravens. Seems like a given. Seems like a done deal, basically. His head coach has much intimated that. But should there be reason for pause in Baltimore? We'll hit that next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!